Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today we will continue in our studies, Benedictions in the Bible. And we wish to attempt today the fourth benediction, and this benediction is found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. And if you have your Bibles near at hand, we invite you to read with us. This is a precious portion. Here is the benediction as it is given at the end of the 2 Thessalonians epistle, chapter 3, verse 16. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. The salutation of Paul with mine own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Paul ends his epistles with this benediction, with these benedictions, I should say, not this one per se, but with these benedictions he ends his epistle. The benediction is indeed an expression of hope, and it's a prayer, it's a pronouncement of blessing upon those to whom he is writing. It's an Old Testament custom, as we have mentioned prior on the broadcast, and the writers of the New Testament follows the Old Testament custom in dismissing their people or ending their epistles with a benediction. Now this comes at the close of this Thessalonian epistle, and it's the climax of the epistle. I want to read it again, perhaps several times during the course of the broadcast. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. And then he ends the epistle, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now this is the climax of the epistle, and it sums up the very substance of the epistle itself. In the second epistle of Thessalonians, Paul is trying to correct the false teaching of false teachers, probably Judaizing teachers. The Thessalonians were experiencing great persecution, and these false teachers wrote to the Thessalonian Christians and told them, you have missed the coming of the Lord. You are in the great tribulation. Here are the words spoken in the second chapter, verse 1 of the Apostle Paul. He outlines the approach, the MO, the modus operandi of these people. Here they write, and they say, or Paul says rather, of them in chapter 2, verse 1, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ, or the day of the Lord, is at hand. That they were in the tribulation, the day of the Lord is the tribulation period. Now he says, don't be shaken in your minds. We did not write that letter. It was evidently a forgery. These false teachers wrote. And Paul says, and tells them very, very plainly, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of the Lord is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there shall come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, the Antichrist, if you please, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? Have you forgotten what I told you? Now, in his first epistle, every chapter in that epistle mentions, or rather ends, with a mention of the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. The coming again of Christ, I suppose, is the most common, the most prolific subject of the New Testament. The coming again, the second coming of Christ, is mentioned some 320 times in the New Testament. Now, that's not my research. I'm depending on the research of others. Christ is coming back to this earth. And he is, before he comes back to reign, he's going to snatch away his church. This is called the rapture. That's dealt with in the fourth chapter of the first epistle to Thessalonians in detail, verses 13 to 18. He is going to snatch away the church, and that's why it's called the rapture. It says a snatching away. And he's going to take the church to heaven. He's going to raise the dead, those that have died in the Lord in previous ages, and he is going to raise them first, and then he's going to catch up the church, the living church, change their bodies and take them all to heaven. That wonderful portion in the fourth chapter, 1 Thessalonians, is so often read at the graveside in funeral services to give hope. Now, he had told them these things, but somehow or other, they had forgotten them under the guise, or under the, rather, the ruse of these false teachers, writing in the name of Paul, if you please. Now, he says, don't you remember these things? Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things? Now, this is the really the substance of the climax of this epistle. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace by always by all means. The Lord be with you all. Now Paul, in that second chapter of 2 Thessalonians, the one that we're in considering, just read, is quite detailed about what is going to happen first before the Lord comes to set up his kingdom. Now, we're not going into this. It would take too long. But he goes over in detail, and that's the reason that he can say at this at the end of this epistle, in his benediction, now the Lord of peace himself give you peace. Don't be troubled about this matter. The tribulations that you're going through, the persecutions that you're going through, is not the great tribulation. Indeed, we would have to admit they were going through tribulations, but not the great tribulation. They had not missed the coming of the Lord. And Paul sets the matter straight. And then in this benediction, you'll notice that right in the center of the benediction, I'm going to read it again. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. Now listen to what Paul says. The salutation of Paul with mine own handwriting, which is the token in every epistle, so I write. Then he goes on with the benediction. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now the Apostle Paul sets their hearts at rest. This is a special message for them. Now I have no objections whatsoever in using this verse on Christmas cards and laying hold of the fact that the Lord of peace is going to undertake for me as well as for the Thessalonians. But in the original sense, this is the climax of the second epistle. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. Now you and I have three wonderful attributes: faith, hope, and love. Now I want to speak of what the scripture says for you and for me. This particular benediction was given for the private use of the Second Thessalonians, not that we can't appropriate it. But I want to show you in the rest of the scriptures that which we can appropriate through the attributes, the God-given attributes that God has given to us. Each one of us knows how to exercise faith. Each one of us can exercise hope. Each one of us can experience it. Each one of us can love. I want to read three scriptures that will strengthen our faith in the coming again of our Lord Jesus, if we know him. And if we don't know him, by all means we should become saved soon, because the Lord has not told us exactly when he is coming. He's given us a few indications of what's going to take place in the world prior to the rapture of the saints. But he wants us to be saved so we will not miss out on that wonderful rapture. Now, here we have in Romans chapter 1, chapter 5, rather, verse 1, this wonderful verse that we've read so many times on this broadcast, Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified by faith. In what sense are we justified by faith? God gave His Son to die on the cross for our sins, for your sins and for my sins. And this applies to anybody that's listening to this broadcast. He died for your sins, whether you believe it or not. Now, if you trust in it, you're saved and you'll go to heaven. But it's a fact. Christ is not going back to the cross for anyone. He went to that cross once, and He settled the matter of our sins. Now, when we believe that, the result is peace. Now, the Lord of peace Himself, give you peace always by all means. And that is the peace that comes through faith. But now let's mention love. In Galatians 5 and 22, we read there, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law." Now I want you to notice the order here, please. The fruit of the Spirit is love. That is our first reaction. Love back to God because He gave His Son for us on the cross. And then the next grace that is given here is joy. The joy springs out of the love. The love of God in giving His Son for me, and I return that love when I'm saved. We love Him because He first loved us. And then the second experience is joy. Joy, and then the third is peace. This is sequential. It is experimental in our lives. Love, joy, and then peace. Settled peace. It's all settled. Christ died for me on the cross. He is coming for me. He will take me home to heaven, and I will not go through the tribulation. And that tribulation period is not for me. I'll be spared from it. He's going to snatch us away. And then there's the matter of hope. Hope brings peace. Faith brings peace. Love brings peace. And hope brings peace. We read in Romans 15 and 13, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace." Notice the order. Joy first. The first reaction is joy. And then the second reaction is settled peace. "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit." Now, hope brings peace, but love brings peace, and we end up with hope. Hope is geared to the future. Hope looks to the future. Hope is faith in regard to the future. And hope brings us peace, that God says what He means and means what He says, and He's the God of peace and gives us peace. What a benediction to the Thessalonians, but we've had the benediction too. Our Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, set our minds at rest, give us peace, because God loved us, Christ died for us, and we're going to heaven. Praise God in His name. Amen.